This is Issues and Ideas here on 90.1 KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Randall White. A Habitat for Humanity project in Paso Robles is such a success that it's becoming an example for the organization on how to best use resources. The Sierra Bonita neighborhood has 479 homes, many of which are owned or rented by seniors living solely on their Social Security benefits. The two-year project has been recognized by the international organization as a best practice model. Julia Ogden is the chief executive officer at Habitat for Humanity for San Luis Obispo County. She joins us in studio now to discuss the project, what's working and why, and how the use of data helps guide the work. Thank you for being here today, Julia.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So when your local Habitat office went into Sierra Bonita, was the plan from the get-go to achieve what we see today, or has this evolved along the way?
It has evolved over time. Mm-hmm. As we've become more and more aware that affordable housing is getting harder and harder to find, whether to buy or to rent, we ended up talking to quite a few seniors. We were requested to come into the neighborhood with our home preservation project. And what ended up happening, that project provides minor repairs, landscaping, painting, you know, to preserve the home, to mm-hmm. keep the home in good shape so that they don't deteriorate to the point that they are not livable anymore. And the more we were in there, the more we started noticing that the neighborhood was having some larger issues that needed to be addressed and that there wasn't a real vehicle for that to happen. And at about the same time, Habitat International launched their neighborhood revitalization program. And the way that works is that you select a low-income neighborhood, and Habitat comes in and begins the work by creating a coalition of the residents and other organizations that are working in the neighborhood and start addressing some of the larger issues that the neighborhood could be having. Now, Sierra Bonita isn't the prototype for that program. They tend to pick larger, more blighted areas. But the more we got in there and the more the residents started talking to us, we identified that, you know, there were some crime issues in there. These are seniors, and they are particular targets to people, identity theft, fraud.
Knocking
on the door and, you know, presenting themselves as, well, for example, the first one we heard was that they would knock on the door and say to the senior who answered, "I just fell off your porch, and if you give me all the money you've got, I won't sue you." And it's, you know, it's that's a pretty severe threat to make to somebody. And, of course, they give the money and the people go away. But then this keeps happening over and over again. They're frequently targets of phone fraud, you know, calling, "I'm the IRS. You know, you owe us taxes. If you give me your credit card, you can pay it right now."
My parents are in their 80s and they get them all the time. And they call me and they say, "What should we do about?" I'm like, "Well, A, don't give these people any information
exactly.
at all."
Exactly. Right. And, you know, when we drove around, we noticed that the infrastructure needed some work. There were some streets that are in severely bad condition. And what happens, okay, so Sierra Bonita has basically two age groups there. They have some people 55 to 65 who are still working. And then there is a group of people who are 70 and above into their 90s who were the original purchasers of these homes. And the problem comes in with that older group. If you're trying to cross the street and it's covered with gravel and the manhole covers are sticking up, it becomes a trip hazard.
Right.
The sidewalks are so old that they're buckling. There's another trip hazard. And so, you know, it's at a point that the folks who originally bought these houses didn't anticipate these kinds of problems, but they're at an age where they start taking shape. And we also started realizing that a lot of the repairs that needed to be done actually were aging in place issues. Mm-hmm. So grab bars and low-level carbon monoxide detectors so that people who have trouble walking or are trying to help a spouse to get out of the house have time. If their carbon monoxide detector goes off, you know, a low-level one gives you several minutes as opposed to the 60 seconds a normal carbon monoxide detector gives you. Do you need a different kind of toilet? Do you need different kinds of handles on your cabinets? Do you need a peephole in your door so that you can see who's coming to your door. All of these sorts of things started cropping up, and we decided that Sierra Bonita would be a really good place as a test, a pilot for this neighborhood revitalization program, and to see how it would work. And it's been quite a ride. It's very exciting.
Julia, is this a neighborhood where there's a homeowners association and you can't move in if you're not of a certain age?
That's correct. There is a homeowners association in the neighborhood, and they do have guidelines, for the people who rent or buy in the neighborhood to follow. And yes, you need to be over 55 years of age. And if I think you can have some younger people in the house if you have at least one adult that's over 55. But they do have, you know, it was designed to be a retirement development, you know, for seniors to go to and live in. Most of the houses are attached, approximately 900 square feet, two bedroom with small yards. A lot of them, I would say a good number of them, are inhabited by single senior women whose spouses may have passed, most likely. That's happened. And so a lot of them are in the situation of, how do I repair my house? I've never had to do this. You know, what do I do? And as their house starts needing repairs and kind of falling apart, it's hard for them. A lot of them, I would say most of the ladies that we've helped, I call them my ladies. I just love these ladies. They're just wonderful. Have significant health issues going on. Not necessarily just the result of aging, but, you know, other medical issues that they've been living with for a long time.
So focusing on home repairs and projects like that are not at the top of the list.
Right. That's exactly right. And we have a budget for each house that we go into of $2,500. And, you know, Habitat would like us to be entering into loans with the folks that we're helping through this program. But the truth of the matter is, as you mentioned, they're living on Social Security.
Right.
They can't afford that. And so we're not. You know, we've got this budget. We go in, we do the work, and we leave. And they cook incredibly wonderful cookies in payment for the work we're doing. When we go out there with our teams, you know, here come these ladies with these great cookies. And we're actually putting together a cookbook that we will sell in our restores to raise money for the program.
That's a terrific idea. And there is a restore in San Luis Obispo, and that's open to the public?
It is. There's a restore in San Luis Obispo on Tank Farm Road, but we also have one in Paso Robles, which is on Limestone Way. So we have two stores, and we're hoping to open a third store in Napomo.
And those work the same way as like a Goodwill and that sort of thing?
It is. It's different stuff, you know, but it is solely everything that is in the store is a donation. So, and most of the items are used. They tend to be home improvement items, everything from lights and tile and furniture to wood and insulation and cabinets. Our kitchen cabinets that come in, they flip within 24 hours.
Wow.
They're, you know, so it's different items. You know, there's no clothing, no mat, you know, those sorts of things. So the two stores, you know, the revenue that comes from them goes into the operations that help us fulfill our mission. So we also use things in the restore on our builds so that, you know, if they have, I saw the other day there were 6 bags of Quikrete. That went away real quick because a lot of the repairs in Sierra Bonita are replacing the fences. They have these wooden fences and they're collapsing. Mm-hmm. And so we need the Quikrete to put the new posts in and things like that. So, when you know, you never know, if you make a donation to the store, it could end up on a Habitat build site. So, you know, Sierra Bonita, we've had some really exciting things happen since you and I talked a little while back, in that the number one issue that you were talking about, data. Mm-hmm. One of the first things you do with a neighborhood revitalization is you survey the residents. And you get a feel of what they think is going on in their neighborhood. And are they comfortable living there? Do they feel safe living there? What are their issues of concern? And we did a survey almost 2 years ago. And the number one thing that popped up were the streets and the sidewalks I mentioned to you about. So in the last 6 months, we brought out a civil engineer to look at the streets and the sidewalks. And we took pictures. And then we went to the residents and asked them for incident reports. Have you tripped? Have you had a problem? Has your property been damaged by the gravel on the roads? And got those incident reports. And then we went around with a petition, you know, for the city, asking them to repair the streets and the sidewalks. And we sent this whole package off to Councilman Gregory in Paso Robles and scheduled a meeting. Asked him if we could talk about this. Now, we know that this is an expensive proposition we were asking for.
Right.
And, you know, every jurisdiction here is having, you know, funding issues to get all the work that needs to be done, particularly for our roads and
infrastructure and transportation projects are facing dire situations when it comes to funding.
Exactly. And the city is doing the best they can. You know, they put in a 1 cent sales tax up there and they've gotten the major thoroughfares paved with that. But these were not major thoroughfares. And this was a, you know, this is a small senior community. And when we went into the meeting, Councilman Gregory was there, as well as the director of public works for the city. And they had already gone to the city council, and the city council had approved additional hiring of 4 construction workers who will be focusing on working within Sierra Bonita this summer. Mm-hmm. And they asked us to list the top 5 things we'd like done. And I mean, talk about a dream come true.
Right.
And the city, you know, met us. I mean, more than halfway. They already had made their decision before we came in, and it'll be over 2 years. They'll get some of it done this summer and some of it next summer. And, you know, the Paso Police Department has been so supportive of what we're doing and helping us, you know, not just with the fraud issues we talked about, but we have issues. There are some residents who have dementia. Hmm. And we're getting calls. And we had one lady come into the office. And, you know, what can we do? You know, where's the point where the police department can help? But even if that's not the case, they're going over if we call and checking on these residents because, you know, you worry about them. You worry about them. And
GPS and those sorts of things are expensive.
Exactly. Exactly. And we don't know their families. One of the things we're working on is creating what we call block captains, where you can leave your family contact information if you don't have family close by, or even if you do, so that if, you know, they see that you've called 911 and there's an ambulance on your door, they can contact your family and let them know what's going on. There's also a program called nextdoor.com that is very active in Paso. And, you know, not very many seniors have computers, the older seniors.
Right.
I think the younger seniors do, but not the older seniors. So that block captain can check nextdoor.com, and if there's any criminal activity going on in the neighborhood, alert, you know, the neighbors what's going on. It's no big secret that about 8 or 9 months ago, there was a huge bust in Sierra Bonita. Some people that were coming into a house and making meth and selling it. And it was the neighbors who worked with the police to get them in there and take care of that issue, which was huge. I can't say that the coalition had anything to do with that. But if we are creating an atmosphere where people are coming out of their houses and starting to work more with their neighbors and they got together and did this, then that's great. That's what we're looking for. That's a success.
We're speaking with Julia Ogden. She's the Chief Executive Officer at Habitat for Humanity for San Luis Obispo County. If you'd like more information on any of the issues that we're discussing here today, you can find that on our website at kcbx.org. So since Habitat for Humanity has begun these neighborhood revitalization programs, mm-hmm. how big of a part is the overall Habitat game plan focused on that? Because when I think of Habitat, I picture a group coming in and building a house, you know, like
sure.
a standalone house on its own, brand new
sure.
house. Is it shifting more now to these revitalization issues?
Well, I would say, you know, responding on Habitat International's point is that they found that by building new homes, which is always going to be a part of what we do, we weren't being effective enough. And that it is equally as important to preserve the affordable housing stock as it is to build new homes, that we can get in there in the neighborhoods and through neighborhood revitalization, but also through our home preservation, which is construction. And we also have a home rehabilitation program. We have one house we're working on right now in SLO, another single senior lady. And it looks like we may have a second program, another house coming up here soon, you know, just to preserve what's there. And that's really become relevant on the Central Coast as property values have gone up, which makes it more difficult for us to buy property. Just construction in general. Just give you an example, it costs the affiliate in Phoenix $50,000 to build a house. It costs us on average $275,000 to build a house here. And so we end up subsidizing somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000 of the construction with other funds because we can only sell the houses for, it's based roughly on 30% of the family's income. Habitat is the only affordable housing nonprofit where we're serving very low income people. So the income range for the people we're selling our houses to and we're serving in home preservation and for home rehab is between 30 and 60% of the average median for the county. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are for a family of four, they're making less than $40,000 a year to qualify for our program. And they're people that wouldn't even be considered for a conventional mortgage. And we tailor our program so our mortgages are 0% interest. We're the mortgage lender, so they're working with us. They're 30-year mortgages. And we do a variety of things in the mortgage. They're deed-restricted loans so that, you know, we try to make sure the housing stays affordable housing. So if they sell their house, we really want to encourage them to sell it to another low-income family.
Well, I was wondering about that because with revitalization might also come gentrification of some of these neighborhoods. And do you have a problem with Habitat people being priced out of the neighborhoods that you've revitalized?
We do. And that has become something of a problem in Sierra Bonita, where investors come in and buy the houses and then sell them for a larger, you know, it reduces the opportunity for folks within the income range we're serving to find a place to live. And we're doing a couple of things that are just at the beginning. One of the things is that Habitat is working on creating a Habitat Land Trust. So that if there are low-income homeowners who want to keep their property low-income, they can will their property to us, their house and their property to us, and we will make sure that that stays affordable housing in good condition. You know, we take on the obligation of maintaining that property until we can sell it to another low-income person. So that's one thing. That's kind of novel. We haven't gotten too far with that, but it's
something. And then sell it with the restrictions that they wouldn't be able to flip it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You know, so we're working on that. I think, you know, of course, we, like I said, we deed restrict our own. And and it's you know, it's hard because we're hearing stories where you may have two or three seniors living in one house because they can share the rent. You know, they don't know each other. They're just roommates. And then if the homeowner sells the house, then you've got three low-income seniors out on the streets trying to find a place to live. And the truth of the matter is there is very little existing housing for anybody, let alone, you know, low-income seniors. There's not a lot of retirement property out there. And so, you know, how do you work with the property owners? It's tough. You know, I mean, gentrification is not what we do.
Yeah.
What we do is we're going to try to preserve that low-income housing. We're not looking at improving it where, you know, to the point that it would be more interesting to a higher level income family person, you know, to buy or to rent. We're trying to keep this exactly what it is, but in good enough shape that it stays what it is, you know, affordable housing for people who need a place to live. And so, you know, our program has really become boots on the streets. I mean, that's what we're doing is we're going in and we're, you know, repairing and maintaining and securing these homes so that the homeowners can actually stay in it and not have to worry about having to sell it because they can't take care of it. So gentrification is not what Habitat does.
So you have this model now of Sierra Bonita that is being recognized as very successful. Do
right.
you want to duplicate that anywhere in San Luis Obispo County or share it with neighboring Santa Barbara, Monterey County chapters?
We have learned a lot in Sierra Bonita, and we have selected our second neighborhood, which is in Oceano. And we are at the point right now, we've got great members of our coalition. You know, Boys and Girls Club is involved, Head Start is involved, CAPSLO is involved, the community center, the promissorios are involved, and we're now getting the residents involved with the hope of having our first event in September. Once that community event happens, then we will go out with the survey. And, you know, have meetings so people can come in and do the survey, or they maybe could go into the community center or do it at school so we can start getting a handle on that community. The Oceano CSD is involved. And I think there may be some ways we can help with them. We've also already talked to the county about some of the infrastructure things that maybe Habitat can partner with them on. We are considering... from the infrastructure and Habitat side on making this a green community, and because there is funding out there to do that, and we might be able to get the gutters put in, the lights put in, you know, as long as you're using solar lights and you're using special green.
Would this be a first?
For us, it would be. We saw a green neighborhood up in Portland when I did my recent presentation at a Habitat conference on Sierra Bonita. We got a tour of their neighborhood revitalization project. It looked an awful lot like Sierra Bonita, to be honest with you, but they have gotten funding. For example, they took a landfill and they've turned it into a park. And they've been able to put other parks and a community garden in as part of this. They were able to change out, you know, get streetlights put in because they are solar generated streetlights and a lot of different things like that. And, you know, talking with them on how that funding played. Right now, Sierra Bonita, the home preservation project and the, well, the home preservation project is funded almost entirely by Bank of America. The neighborhood revitalization part of it, which is separate, it has been funded by U.S. Bank and Chevron. So, you know, we're starting to get more corporate. But when you start talking about streetlights and things like that, you're talking about government funding. And so, you know, we've been talking with them to figure out how they got all this done and the partnership they had with Portland. Of course, ours would be a partnership with the county since that's an unincorporated area. So we've already started down there. It takes a while, you know, to get the community involved. It takes a while to decide what you want to do, and that's where the data comes from. The survey is one that we purchased from NeighborWorks. And it's called Success Measures. And it has a variety of surveys in there that we can modify to match the neighborhood. So there's a resident survey. There's a block survey so that we can actually take a look at, you know, the condition of the neighborhood. There's a vacant lot survey.
The physical condition.
That's right. That's right. There's a vacant lot survey. And some Habitats are actually building homes in those neighborhoods. And so they also take a look at potential properties for purchase to build homes, as well as what the condition of the homes are now that they've been built and they may have been there for a while.
So based on the data, would this Oceano project also be focused on seniors, or would the demographic be different?
Demographic is very different. There are seniors in the neighborhood, but it's multi-ages, lots of families, very culturally diverse. You know, a lot of farm workers that live in the neighborhood. You know, so it is, you know, lots of kids. So it is very different, you know, with
different needs.
Different needs.
On the part of Habitat,
there, the neighborhood has some real issues with crime. You know, again, the sidewalks and the streets, the streetlights. Primarily, it's low income. You know, a lot of the housing, these are beach bungalows that people turned into houses, and a lot of them are in pretty bad shape. Yeah. And so, you know, there in each of these communities, there is approximately 40% of the houses, both in Sierra Bonita and Oceano, are rented. And so one of the big things we're grappling with from a Habitat standpoint is how to work with the property owners to get these properties in better shape. It is not Habitat's policy to work with rental units. But if you're going into a neighborhood and you're trying to do, you know, deal with affordable housing and preserving that, then you got to talk to the rental owners. So one of the things that is happening in the county is that a lot of the landlords are just don't want to spend the money or can't spend the money to improve the properties they're renting, so they leave them vacant. So I have an email into Habitat International and saying, okay, we need housing here. So how can we work with these landlords? How can we, you know, what can we do? Can we work with them, maybe do the same zero interest loan to repair these houses so they're available for renting, but at the same time ask the landlords if they will keep the rent low so that, you know, low income and renters.
As a trade-off.
Mm-hmm. And do it for a set period of time. You set an agreement with us that you will do this for 5 years or 10 years or something like that.
Because these homes are not up to safety code and those sorts of those sorts of guidelines. So they just they can't afford to get it up to code. You would help them reach that and in exchange.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
They would meet us halfway with this is who we serve. These are who we'd like you to rent these homes out to.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how acceptable that would be. And I need to make sure that Habitat doesn't have any issues with that. You know, they don't each Habitat affiliate, and there are 1,400 of us, are very independent. Each one is unique. We consider ourselves a federated organization. But there are a few things that we do have to comply with, like 0% interest on our loans and, you know, what the income level is on the people we serve and that we focus on home ownership. But we're at such a crisis point here that I think Habitat would you know, at least discuss it with me. And, you know, we were one of the first affiliates, and we're the only affiliate in the United States that's merged aging in place into our home preservation program. And so now Habitat has realized how critical this has become, and they are having meetings with Medicare to see what we can do to, you know, partner Habitat's aging in place with the Medicare program.
Sounds like a lot of partnerships and many of them working. I wish you continued success with the Sierra Bonita project in the Paso area and future success with what you have going on in Oceano.
Thank you.
Julia Ogden, Chief Executive Officer at Habitat for Humanity for San Luis Obispo County. Thank you so much for joining us here on Issues and Ideas.
You're welcome.
I'm Randall White.